It's good to see you here in Sunday school. Missed you guys last week. Valerie and I had a very good trip down south. Always good to enjoy that, but it's even better to come home. Amen? So I'm glad that you're here this morning. And I was telling somebody just a moment ago, in our Sunday school class, you know, we have so many surgeries all the time on a regular basis and sicknesses that just seeing you here is a special treasure for me. Pray for the Griggs. I believe Brother Griggs had a procedure done, and they could be here for church, but he's probably best if he stays home. Pray for him that he'll get over that. And I'm just glad that you're here this morning, and I want to say thank you to Albert for filling in last week. I saw the jar, the survival kit, and that took a lot of work, and I'm sure you enjoyed that. Safety is an awfully important thing in life, isn't it? The Bible has a lot to say about safety. Proverbs 21:31, the last part of that verse says, "Safety is of the Lord." Safety is of the Lord. So, you know, He's got all kinds of ways for us to be safe. And on the sheet that Brother Albert put together, there's all kinds of little things that we need to do daily to be safe. That's how you have to look at that. He's kind of given us the recipe to be safe, and it's up to us to do that. So thank you, Brother Albert. And I'm sorry I missed that lesson. We're over in John chapter 13 this morning. The chapter 13 is the first chapter in five chapters of our Lord bidding His disciples farewell. So much instruction and so much training and so much information in these five chapters, and we're just starting it. And we're going to start in John chapter 13, verse number 17. Kind of an odd way to do things, but since I missed last week, I just want to start there, and then we'll go from there. John 13, verse 17. Lord says, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Well, what things is He talking about? Well, just a couple of things I want to review with that we covered in verses 1 through 16. And the first thing I want to visit with you about and kind of review about is the fact that the foot washing that Jesus did for His disciples, among other things, it listed the need for us to provide service to our fellow man, to be of service to others, and that's very, very important. Our Lord humbled Himself and washed the feet of His disciples as a matter of His service. And just a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, we had a lesson here that talked about, we always think of Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 as the verses that tell us to go to church, commands us to go to church. But in those same two verses, twice, He talks about encouraging and supporting each other. Let us consider to provoke unto love and to good works and exhort one another. So this is a big part of this, is being there for each other. And we're going to see in the end of this chapter, hopefully I'll get there today, we're going to see how important it is that you and I love each other. Now, before we go on and look at some of the other things we covered, I want you to take your Bible and go over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at one verse since we're talking about loving others and serving others. 1 John 5, verse number 1. And this is one of those verses I'm sure you've read a million times, and I've read it a million times, but we're going to look at it from a little different light here. It says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now, before we go on, look up here at me for just a minute. I'm going to talk about terminology. Over in the book of Genesis, do you remember all the begets? You know, the father and the mother beget the son, you know. Valerie and Dwayne beget four kids, and you beget your kids. So thinking about that right there, it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus," I'm going off memory here, that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Now let's finish the sentence. "And everyone that loveth him that beget," okay, who's he that beget? somebody. Who's he that beget in this verse? God. If we're born of God, God is the one that beget us. So far, we're doing okay. Okay? Great verse, good theology, good teaching. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now, why'd you throw that in there? You know, we were doing okay. But what it tells us is, as important as it is to love him that beget us, to love God, it's important for us to love each other. Isn't that something? And I don't know, some of these verses you read all your lifetime, and then at one time you read them after reading them 100 other times, and all of a sudden something clicks. Oh, wow. You know, we got to love each other. You know, that's pretty important. And so that's what our Lord was trying to tell us, how important it is over back in John 13 to be of service to each other. What else did he say? Well, he reminded us of the humility in serving others. Our Lord, the Son of God, the King of Kings, took the time to wash his disciples' feet. There was humility in that. He became humble to provide service for those that he loved, and even for the man who would betray him, Judas. He washed the feet of Judas as well. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And that's something we need to keep in mind. So those are two things that we saw, but we also saw the need for daily cleansing for the child of God. If you've already taken a bath and washed your whole body, and you get your feet dirty, you don't need to take another bath. You just need to wash your feet. Pretty basic, isn't it? If you've accepted the Lord, if you've placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been saved and you become dirty in your daily walk with Him, don't have to take a bath, don't have to get saved again, but you do need cleansing in the Word of God. You do need time in the Word, which will cleanse your heart. The psalmist says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, why do we need the word? Well, we need the word because a couple of things happens in our life when we take advantage of the word, when we read and understand the word. Prophet Isaiah, we talked about this as well. The prophet Isaiah says, Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And we looked at that phrase, the arm of the Lord, talking about our Lord's power and His will and what He can do in our life. And how do we see that in our life? We get that from His Word. We get into the Word of God and we allow the Word of God to reveal the power of God and to speak to us in such a way where we live lives that are approved by Him in our own life. And then just a couple more things before we move on. We looked at the word logos, the word for word in the Greek. You know, there's logos, which is the Word of God. We read the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word. He's the Son of God. He's the Word that we place our faith and trust in Him. But there's another word for word, and it's rhema. And that's the utterance of God. And that's when He moves us. That's when He speaks to us. I read Logos, I read the Word of God, and what I need in my life is I need His rhema. I need His message to me. I need it to be personal. And that's not some esoterical, demonic thing, you know, that happens in our life, you know. No. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to us because we're already in His Word and because we've already humbled our heart before Him, asking and begging Him to speak to us because we're in His Word and our Holy Spirit honors that, or His Holy Spirit honors that and speaks to our spirit. Those are good things. And then the last thing we'll notice is way back up in verse number 1, a wonderful, wonderful thing. The last part of the sentence, I love this phrase, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Nothing I can do to get away from God's love. Nothing I can do that can invalidate what he has done for me and you for you. So we start reading verse number 18, and it says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now our Lord is quoting from the book of Psalms there, and he's talking about Judas. He's acknowledging he knew that Judas was not a believer from the very beginning. It's not that Judas lost his salvation. He never had it. It's not that Judas's belief system fell away. No, he never believed. He never placed his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he couldn't fall away. He was of the devil to begin with because he's never put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I read a couple of things here, and I want to read one of them to you. Sometimes you read something and you cannot improve upon it. And I read this phrase and I wrote it down. The blood of Jesus Christ is the Godward side of sacrifice. Okay? He gave his blood for us so that we could be separated from sin. That's what he did with his blood. It has given us a clean standing before God. Okay? That's the blood. That's the Godward side. Here's the manward side. The cleansing of the water of the Word of God is the manward side of it. After we have our standing before God on the ground of the birth of Jesus, on the blood of Jesus Christ, the water of the Word gives us moral purification in our daily walk. No better way to say that. But the thing about Judas, he never had it to begin with. He never had that purification. He never had that belief as a child of God. And so there's no way he could fall away because he wasn't one of them to begin with. And now our Lord tells the disciples that in verse number 18. And then we read verse 19. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. I wonder sometimes about Judas and his service. As the Lord and the disciples performed those miracles, you know, the disciples were giving power to do some healing and to share the message with others. So Judas is among that group, and he's a disciple. They didn't know he was not a true disciple. Our Lord did. But in his service to the Lord, I wonder about those people that he healed. I wonder about those people that he proclaimed the message to. You say, well, how can that be possible? How could he have healed somebody? Well, he was one of the disciples. He was sent by God. And boy, something I'm really thankful for here is that when we give the message, our faith, the faith of the messenger, the faith of the speaker, is not what does anything. It's the Word that does it. Aren't you glad of that? If it were the faith that I have or the righteousness that I have, I wouldn't be up here this morning. There would be no way I could be up here this morning. But I have the knowledge that what I give in these few minutes is from the Word of God, and the Word of God has that ability to make things happen in our life. No one is saved by the faith of the messenger. We're saved by believing in Jesus Christ. And verse 21 continues, and it says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked on one another, doubting of whom he spake. And there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it is, who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Now I find a little bit of humor in this little passage right here. Okay, you know, Peter's always saying the things that he gets in trouble for, okay? Opening his big mouth, and then, you know, we all do that sometimes, don't we? So here, Peter has just been corrected by our Lord. In fact, it's over in verses number 7 and 8. He was corrected, and in verse 10, he was corrected by the Lord. So here the Lord says, okay, one of you guys are going to betray me. And so naturally, this is going to be a thing of curiosity in this little group of people. Who is it? Who is it? Do you know who it is? I don't know who it is. Is it me? You know, have I? And here Peter, he's just said something that the Lord corrected, and he's wanting to know who it is, and he doesn't want to ask. You know, so John, now I like this too about this passage. This is written by John many, many years later. But the way he describes it is in verse number, verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. John didn't say, yeah, I was leaning on Jesus' bosom, but he identified himself, Linda. I love this. He identified himself with somebody that Jesus loved. Isn't that awesome? He knew, he had confidence that the Lord loved him so much. And so he's by Jesus with his head on the bosom of Jesus. And I don't know where Simon Peter is. Maybe he's 6-8 feet away or in a corner or something. But I can see him right now shrugging his shoulders. Who is it? Ask him. You know, telling John, you know, to ask him. Peter's probably thinking, I don't want to get in trouble here any more than I already am. So, John, would you ask him? I just find some humor in that. And verse 26 says, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, there's a couple, my mind gets, you know, I get myself in trouble by thinking about this stuff, but our Lord just said, it's going to be whoever I give this sop to. And yet the disciples, the Bible says the disciples doesn't know who it is. Now, I know customs, we don't always understand things in the New Testament and the Old Testament because we didn't live in that time. We think in terms of 2022, don't we? Our language, our customs, our practices. So that's some of the problem here. That's some of the difficulty in understanding this. But I just look at this verse, and our Lord has made a statement that, hey, I'm going to dip this, I'm going to say piece of bread in this into this bowl, and whoever I give it to is going to be it. And that's what he does. And that's what he does. And so what I found out was, during that time, in that day, it was a custom for a host in a house, or a host at a party or a banquet or whatever the case might have been. It was a custom for the host to dip a piece of bread and present it to, listen to this, the guest of honor. The guest of honor. Now, first of all, we don't do this anymore, because if we did, when you took me out to a restaurant, at a Mexican restaurant for my birthday, then you would have to feed me all the chips. You'd have to take my chips and dip it in the salsa. And I don't want you doing that, okay? I'll eat my own chips. But it was a thing in that day for the host to take the bread or whatever it was and dip it and then hand it to the guest of honor. Are you listening to this? And Jesus does it for Judas. Why is he doing this? You know why I think he's doing this? He's giving him another chance. He knows who Judas is. He knows our heart. He knew Judas's heart. Our Lord is extending this hand of fellowship, this hand of friendship out to Judas, this hand of, it's not too late, Judas. You can change your mind. I am coming to you in my friendship. I just washed your feet. I just served you in that capacity. Now I'm serving you in this capacity. Doesn't that say volumes about our Lord? Doesn't that say everything about this Master, this Lord and Savior that we serve? We even know it from Matthew 26 when Judas brings the mob into the garden to capture Jesus. What does Jesus say when he looks at Judas? He says, friend, Wherefore art thou come? Friend, let me ask you something. If somebody betrayed you, would that be your first choice of what to call him? Wouldn't be mine. I'd have a few choice names. Our Lord didn't. He said, friend, why are you coming to the garden? And what I see in this is our Lord extending every chance to be saved to this man who betrayed him. Now remember, about 3 weeks ago we talked about the message. The message is what will cause belief in the heart of a person, or it will cause rejection. Only two things there. And here in Judas, he's up in this upper room with Jesus, and Jesus has given him one last chance. He's given him this message. He's given him this friendship. He's given him this foot washing. He's given him this piece of bread dipped in something. And as a gesture of honor, he's given him every last message to be saved. And Judas is going to reject him. The message is what caused Judas's final rejection. Verse 27, I'm losing time here. Verse 27, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. So he's rejected the Lord, and our Lord knows all about him anyway. He knew beforehand that he was going to reject him. Still giving him the chance, though. And then he knows he's going to reject that final chance. And then he finally says, okay, if you're going to do this, make it happen. Now the disciples are standing by, as we'll see, and they're hearing all this. Verse 28 says, now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things which we have need of against the feast, meaning what we need to do the Passover, or that he should give something to the poor. Now don't forget, Judas is the treasurer. He's got the money. They chose Judas to be their treasurer because they trusted him. They thought the world of him, and he's got the money. And I guess that has a lot to do with why, after Jesus gave Judas the sop, after he gave him that, it still did not register, because they thought so highly about Judas. They loved him. They thought the world of him. But we see here that they had no idea. Some of them thought that because Judas had the bag, that they needed to buy. He needed to rush out and buy those things that they needed for the Passover feast, or maybe because he had the bag, he had the money. There was money to give to the poor. And verse 30 says, he then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. So, in the next few verses, our Lord's going to be with these same people, except for Judas. Judas is gone, and he left, and it's nighttime. And he's going to get their minds off of what they've just heard into what's about to take place. And he says, now it's time, gentlemen, for me to be glorified. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. See, to us, the cross is a thing of shame. To the world, it's a thing of shame. But to the Lord, it was a thing of glory. Now think about this. Let's go back to John 1:1. God put this plan into place, sent his Son to the earth to die in our place, and it's about to happen. It's nighttime, it's Thursday night, it's about to happen tomorrow. This is a thing of glory for our Lord. This is not a thing of shame. This is a thing where God is going to make it possible to save the entire human race by what happens on the next day. Well, that's a lot to think about right there. And it's time for the Son to be glorified, because the Son is going to the cross. He says in verse 33, little children, yet a little while, I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. Now look at this in verse 34. Our Lord has just talked about the Lord being glorified by going to the cross. And he goes from there, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. There it is again. Oh my goodness. We just can't get away from that. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. How many times does he have to say it? We got it, don't we? It's awfully important. Hey, you know what? We could be a church that was faithful in all the doctrines that we, you know, the inerrancy of the Word of God, the inspiration of the Scriptures, the deity of Jesus Christ, believers in the resurrection, the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. We can believe in all the right things. And if we have failed in this one area, love for each other, we've wasted everything that we've done. That's the bottom line. That's deep. That's a deep thought right there. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, or I don't know your mind, I don't know your heart. Maybe you're not this way. But if you're honest with yourself, it's quite possible that these verses can cause you to be convicted just a little bit. No? Just a little bit? Sometimes your brother and your sister in Christ is hard to take, aren't they? Sometimes they're not pleasant to be around. And yet one of the most important things that we see from this passage here is that we love them. Why'd he put it in there? Why'd he give us that right there? That's tough. That's tough. And it's a new commandment. And then in verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? Right now, I just want to say, Peter, shh, be quiet. Now, Peter doesn't stay this way his whole life, okay? We get into the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit's matured him in such a good way. But now, he's still talking. Whither goest thou? Jesus answers him, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And I truly think he believed it. I think he was sincere in his heart. I'll do anything for you, Lord. Now, we don't know exactly what time it is, but it's night. It's Thursday night. Say 10, 11, I don't know, 10, 11, 12. Thursday night. And what our Lord says, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Can you imagine Peter's thought process here? What? Lord just told him that he's going to deny the Lord three times before dawn the next morning. Wow, that would just be scary. That would be scary to hear that from our Lord. I don't know how Peter must have been thinking at that point. But we're going to go right into verse 1, and that'll be the last verse. Verse 1 of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, I still think he was talking to Peter here. All the disciples are listening, I imagine, but he's still talking to Peter. Chapter divisions were put in by the translators, if you will, you know, the people many, many years ago who put all this together. I think he's talking to Peter here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peter, you're about to deny me three times here in the next 12 hours. But let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I love that word believe there. It really means to believe into something. And it's a thing of action. It's not a passive. Back to our chair, which I don't have time to go over, okay? But there's one kind of belief that chair will hold me up. There's another that I'm actually involved in it. You know, my company gave me a new truck because they get rid of the ones at a certain mileage, and so I got it this week. I don't even have 100 miles on it. Now, I believe when Brother Chris's message is over and I get in that truck, I believe that it will take me to Lubbock. I believe that. But Linda, if Brother Chris dismisses from his message and I sit right here in this chair and I don't actually go get in that truck, it's not going to take me to Lubbock, is it? Belief in the New Testament is a thing of action. It's not, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I was saved when I was 5. And no, belief in the New Testament is a thing of action that you are doing it. I am believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can see it in my life. It's not passive. It's not inactive. And what a wonderful thing that Peter's being told here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And we can't go any further. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the message here.